about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Test 1, 2.
That's
test
1, 2.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I don't believe in icons. I don't believe in personalities. I believe that peace lies beyond personality, beyond invention and disguise, beyond the red S that you wear on your chest that makes bullets bounce off. I believe that it's deeper than that. I believe we're a field of energy dancing for itself. And I don't care.
You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight.
Shireen, don't like it.
Hey, remember when Bean called that guy his personal lord and savior and then he turned out to be a pedophile? That was pretty funny.
And now.
I heard your radio program at the senior center today.
Great.
I was humiliated.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 24th of April.
What's up, kids?
Hi.
Hello.
I don't like the look Jensen is giving me.
Mm-hmm. I have thoughts for you, but we'll see.
Jensen said he had a surprise that he wanted to share first thing.
All right.
Out of the gate this morning.
Is it a story about a sickle and a neighbor and a penis?
No, just a boom.
Just a boom.
I found something. I know he's an animal lover.
Oh,
and
oh,
I thought this spoke to him.
A sweet story?
Yes.
Oh.
It's extremely sweet.
Like those little dogs that the lady threw in the dumpster that are now all going to be adopted.
Well.
That kind of a sweet story.
No, more caring than that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, are you ready?
Yeah.
I feel like it's... I mean, I don't know how it's not the top story on every news station.
Okay. Wow.
Like, I know there's a lot of collusion talk and subpoenas and whatever. But in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Rescue farm?
Well, to an extent.
Okay. I'm in.
Three men have now been sentenced to 20 to 41 years each.
Oh, no.
Wow.
For being extreme animal lovers.
Oh, no.
Why don't, no, oh. No, 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 no.
No!
Don't
no,
do it, Jensen.
No, no, no. Back away from the screen. Oh, Kevin, inappropriate. This is not a romantic.
Oh, was it a pony?
We don't know yet.
And also, don't judge.
We don't know if it's not a pony. What?
31-year-old Matthew Brubaker, 34-year-old Mark Maskinoff, and 41-year-old Terry Wallace were arrested for having sex with various animals.
No, look. Now, was it a pony? Hold on a sec. All right, you can bring that down.
Okay. Yeah.
We have had this discussion on the animal abuse and child abuse are the two worst things in the world for me. They're the things that hurt me to my core. Kevin has argued in the past, and I'm not sure if he means it or not, you don't know that the animals didn't enjoy it.
Oh, my God.
He has argued that, to which I say it doesn't. That's not the point.
Do you want to hear the lineup before you decide?
Could I answer the question for you?
Yes.
It was a joke.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
because I'm telling you, even though they're animals, if it's without consent, then no. Ooh. I'm saying no.
Well, I don't.
How do you know it's not?
I don't think.
Consent.
I don't think we can tell because this is how many animals that they.
It was more than just the pony.
A cow.
Oh.
All right.
A goat.
Oh, goats aren't even sex. I mean,
multiple dogs.
Oh.
And geez.
And get the drop ready because they had sex with 9 horses.
Oh.
No.
Oh, my God.
I've been really trying. I mean,
after one, you'd think you're done. 9 horses.
I mean, 9 in a row in one day? Because that's a pretty good record.
Here's what they
that's
found.
That's what we're talking about.
I mean, this is the disgusting part that we should make a joke about.
Right.
To commit the acts, the trio forced an unidentified teenage boy who lived on the property to restrain the animals while they assaulted the creatures.
Oh, my God.
His job was to hold the horse down?
He was the lookout, kind of.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I don't know why every article I read about this has to distinguish this, but they want you to know that every animal was a female.
Well,
really?
They don't want you to think the guys were gay. Apparently.
Wow.
That's absurd.
They assaulted the animals over a 5-year span.
Oh,
dear.
Wow.
What is wrong with them?
Good morning, Los Angeles.
Why did you put that in my ears?
Listen, I think that you should be up on stuff. You like to stay current.
Yes, but there's something you just rather not know.
Well, then I'll have to get rid of my Google alert.
Good morning.
This guy's right.
Fabulous. Outstanding, wonderful,
right?
Terrific.
Oh, I forgot one detail.
Hold on.
No, I'll let it live.
Good, bought it.
Okay.
I forgot one detail.
There's more?
Yeah. They found a bunch of cameras and recording equipment in the place where they assaulted the animals.
They wanted it for later?
Yeah, I mean, you know, make sure that you have it, you know, for prosperity.
I've never felt my boner go away so quickly.
Yes,
I'm
with you,
that
Ellie.
Lady.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jensen, I'm putting you in
that
the...
That went south so fast!
Putting you in the penalty box?
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you a timeout.
No worries.
And I'll let you know when it's okay for you to come back to the show after you think about what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
He's just bringing you the news, Ben. He didn't do it.
I don't...
Right?
Yeah, I'm the messenger.
Right.
He brought the news with glee. Is what
Bean, you're an animal lover.
Yeah.
That's how he started.
Yeah. I didn't even have suspenders, yeah. But I was just like pulling them out.
You were,
yeah.
That's true. You're a bad man.
All right.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show,
like
shall
that
we?
I'm the bad man.
Right. Kevin, you lied to us, and you need to grow up.
Bean makes his guess?
Yeah, he does. Guess who our new co-host is going to be on the show starting tomorrow? That's going to be one of the games we're going to be playing.
Omar has a creepy photographer that he wants to discuss. Mm-hmm. It's odd what this guy's doing.
Taking pictures of his dogs?
I mean, no.
I think he wishes.
Worse, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
David Alan Greer.
Oh, I love the dag.
On the show today. We have, you're in love with your car.
Okay.
Cars give consent, right?
No.
But I mean, they don't have feelings,
if
right?
They honk.
Right, that's true. Honk. We also have April Foolishness tickets, ringside seats, along with the pre-VIP party. We're looking for punchlines today. That's going to be in the 8 o'clock hour this morning.
Okay.
So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
I know, you know, we were making fun of mugs, but that's a really good question. Does Michael Jackson, he gets paid?
Yes, publishing.
Right? When people buy that song or we play that song, he gets paid, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Good work.
I mean,
then.
He's dead, though, so I don't know if that
the
makes
estate,
a difference.
The estate.
So, so are we okay if his kids get the money then?
I guess
we
saying
are because they're victimless.
The estate didn't do anything.
Right.
So
we should be
cool.
I'm
stuck
with
on that one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Well,
also,
I'm a huge Alien Ant Farm fan. So.
Okay, so that.
I was just going to say, also, it's Alien Ant Farm, so can we just decide not to do it?
More on that.
But yeah,
just based on that.
That was just a little different than Jensen's.
But that's what they're paying this month's rent with, is us playing that song.
Wow.
You know? I don't want to put those guys out on the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can move in with the estate.
Guys, they're out in the street already.
Hey, it's 5:54. It's Wednesday morning. Allie's here with a first look at what's happening.
Listen, we all hate spoilers, right? We don't want to hear them.
Right.
But when you go on Twitter and are tweeting, I'm seeing Endgame on Friday, I don't want any spoilers, don't you think someone immediately is going to see that and just spoil it for you?
I assume,
like,
yeah.
What are you doing? I have a friend that literally on Twitter, on Instagram, if she could afford to get somebody to do it in the sky, she would write that. And it's like, sweetie, you're setting yourself up, and this just in... Stay off social media.
That's the
if
thing
it's
is, it's
that big of a deal to you.
It's on you.
Absolutely.
To avoid spoilers. If Twitter is all spoilers, stay
absolutely.
Off it. It's not that hard.
Absolutely.
But
you guys.
The flip side of that is if you are tweeting out or Instagramming or Facebooking spoilers for Endgame, you're a dick.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
You shouldn't be putting it out there.
No, 100%. But.
But it's on you to avoid it as well.
Avoid it. It's very simple to avoid it.
And you're friends with this person.
Oh, I'm rethinking it. Boy, is she annoying right now. But 57% have temporarily unplugged from social media in order to avoid Endgame spoilers, you guys. And Fandango is reporting that the upcoming 3-hour Avengers Endgame has already sold out more than 4,000 screenings in North America. And the movie is tracking to be the fastest preseller in the 19-year history of Fandango and on pace to become, obviously, the all-time presale champ as well, you guys.
Kevin, I know you don't care about reviews, but the first reviews are in, and they are very good.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good.
I do love when I want to go see a movie anyway and the reviews are very good.
Mm-hmm.
That does make me happy. But
yeah.
If they're bad, I go, I'm going to go anyway because
right.
It looks good to me.
Right. Absolutely.
But it does. I am happy that they're happy.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a very satisfying conclusion
Excellent.
To the story. Yeah.
Pretty emotional.
Can't wait. You want to know what happens?
Thanos opens a Jamba Juice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't mean to spoil that. But
yeah, he kind of turns it all around.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm sorry. I watched it, but I fell asleep.
Oh, okay. Well, it's 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you're an old man.
I get it. Yeah. And again, talk that it might hit $300 million in the domestic opening and a jaw-dropping $1 billion worldwide. That's just, I know, that's just the
that's
opening,
crazy.
You guys. It's cuckoo. Is Carson Daly the nicest human being on the face of the earth?
Oh, my gosh, no.
Oh, Vin, of all people, I think you'd agree with that.
He's one of the nicest I've ever met.
Absolutely. So he returned from a week-long vacation to learn that two of his colleagues were preggers. Or had just adopted a baby. So Jenna Bush Hager announced on Monday that she's pregnant with her third child, and Hoda Kotb revealed that she adopted a second baby, a little girl named Hope Catherine. And Carson Daly just joked on Instagram that their work coffee mugs are filled with baby-making juice. Oh, no, Carson, not you saying such horrible things.
Debbie Likey.
People... of course, lost their minds.
I love that tweet.
I love it so very much. And of course, people were like, that's not nice of you. You shouldn't be saying that about your coworkers. And then apparently, while he was gone, the meteorologist had revealed that she suffered a miscarriage and is dealing with secondary infertility.
Oh, boy.
So people were like, oh, really bad time, Carson. And he's like, I'm Carson Daly, the nicest man in the world. Ask the Kevin and Bean Show. They're talking about it, like, coming up. I see into the future. That's what he wrote. But he, there's no malintent ever from Carson Daly.
You don't
that. My Jensen. God, Jensen.
You understand you can't say that word, right? You get that. No, I don't think that's what he was doing.
Quite a setup. He would never do that.
Quite a setup. Debbie Likey.
Oh, but really, baby bacon juice, that's funny.
That is funny.
Oh, poor Carson.
It's not 6 yet, right?
It's not.
No, we're not on the air.
Yeah, we're not on the air.
No worries.
How about this first sentence? Halsey's naked rock climbing trip didn't go as planned. She took to Instagram to show off her injured back. Her torso that's covered in red scrapes and cuts.
Oh, that hurts.
And her middle finger that was wrapped in a bandage. And she said, don't go rock climbing naked. Or do. I mean, do you?
Why was she rock climbing
yeah,
naked?
Yeah, I could have told her that.
Honestly, I'm going to say this. If I look like Halsey, I'd be naked all the time.
But while climbing the face of a rock?
We're not saying like for us. We're saying for you. Like, Halsey, it sounds unsafe for Halsey.
Right.
Well, it clearly was unsafe for him.
Yeah, I don't think you should ever really do anything that strenuous naked, like up against granite.
Right.
Probably not safe, but...
Because it's hard.
What?
The granite. The granite's hard.
Is that what you call it?
That's a weird nickname, Kevin.
The rock's so mad. So anyway, yeah, she got all cut up and scraped and things aren't good. Doesn't really say why she was doing it. She just, you know, weird.
Oh.
I know, it's really crazy, you guys. Hey, some birthdays for you. Kevin, you still love Barbara Streisand?
She's not my favorite.
Yeah. Who do you like less, Barbara Streisand or James Lipton?
Wow. James Lipton was more in my face for a long time, whereas Barbara Streisand kind of kept to herself.
You could avoid her. Okay.
A rare Sophie's choice.
Yeah, it's really tough.
Totally. Kelly Clarkson, happy birthday.
Kelly Clarkson!
Austin Nichols from One Tree Hill, Wimbledon. John from Cincinnati. What? Joe Keery, he's Steve from Stranger Things. Also looks just like our friend from Parks and Rec. We'll talk about him later. And Frankie McDonald.
Which one?
Who are you referring to?
I'm trying to Google it, but I can't find it. Which one are you talking about?
And Frankie McDonald.
I'm sorry,
you made a reference that I think the audience needs to know more about.
The kid on Stranger Things looks like who?
Who?
Jean Ralphio from Parks and Rec.
Character name. It's hard. People should know the real name.
What's the guy's name?
He was just in here. He literally
about a month ago.
That's why we're asking. God. Yeah.
Welcome to my life.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Let's just wait.
We got all day.
I mean, Jean Ralphio. It's just.
That's the character name, right?
Yeah.
Played by the actor.
The guy that plays
it.
It's hard to IMDb the character name.
Yeah, the actor.
I'm trying my hardest.
We'll just
hear me typing?
Yeah, he did the show with the guy from Silicon Valley.
That's right.
They were doing a comedy, like an improv show.
By the way, pulling someone else's name up is not going to help you find another person.
It helped her stall, though.
Yeah. Thomas Middleditch is who he's doing the show with. My God.
My disappointment is immeasurable.
You guys.
My day is ruined.
Mine too, sir. He's in a movie with my friend Jillian that's coming out that looks great.
They're very close friends.
Very close friends. She was texting me while he was here, like, oh my God,
well,
he's the best.
Here?
He plays Jean Ralphio on Parks and Rec.
Oh, right. I'm still typing.
Can I type it in?
Trying my hardest to type.
You know, James from Jeopardy is not going to love you anymore if you can't come up with names.
Hear me typing?
Yeah.
I'm trying my hardest.
Ben Schwartz!
All right.
That was a journey.
Worth it.
Wow. Apologies, you guys. Ben.
Mm-hmm.
The two of us.
Yeah, he made quite an impact on you.
All right.
And that voting ends at 10 o'clock this morning. Is that right?
Yep.
Did I say that right? Okay. If you want to help us decide who will be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's 11th Annual April Foolishness, as you know, the show is at the Microsoft Theater Friday night. It's going to be a great night of comedy, the Kevin and Bean Rap Battle, and some deserving comedian is going to get up in front of a big old audience of about 5,000 people, and it could be that person's big break. Man, there's a lot of funny people, a lot of great competitors this year. Go to krock.com, check out the Kevin and Bean page, and cast your vote who should be opening the show.
Also, we moved the rap battle to 3 p.m.
No, so it's still,
no one will be able to see
normal.
It.
Normal. Okay. Just
rap
go to the show.
3 p.m. It's going to be when people are there, Kevin.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say.
Last night, I worked a little on it, and I was writing like your raps, like based on some of your notes.
Yeah.
My pen caught fire.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Letting you know.
That's the only thing that's going to catch fire.
So that's all Friday night. I hope you join us. You can still buy tickets at AXS.com. Right now, though, it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes.
I just like to say that a lot of those drops don't make sense in that intro.
Thank you, Kevin. I was thinking the exact same thing. They seem really inappropriate for this segment. Guys, we all love a good sports movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In fact, we have a guest coming in later on today, David Alan Grier, who's got a sports movie out about a young man who becomes one of the sprinting champions in the world. And
right.
There's something inspirational about seeing those athletes persevere and push through and win the big prize. You know, we all love the Rockies of the world and things like that. For some reason, there have been more great baseball movies than any other sport. There's some great boxing movies. There's a couple of good football movies. But there are so many great baseball movies. I don't know what it is about the sport of baseball that lends itself to a great movie, but there have been a ton of them. And that's the topic of today's Bean Makes This Guess. The best baseball movies ever made. This is according to Ranker.com. They had over 80,000 votes on this. So this is what the people think are the best baseball movies of all time. Kevin, you sit at the head of the table. You get the first guess. What say you, sir?
Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield is number 16. That was a pretty good guess, though. I'm stunned that you came up with one. I mean, I can't imagine Kevin has ever intentionally and on purpose seen a baseball movie.
That was actually a comedy answer for me. I did not expect it to be on the list at all.
Yeah, well, this is a good
name. Wow, number 16. Not enough for a point, but no. Jensen, you're up next.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is number one, ladies and gentlemen. Considered the best baseball movie of all time. Didn't you just wear a Field of Dreams t-shirt this week?
And I admitted that I had bought dirt from there as a souvenir, and everyone has made fun of me since.
You bought dirt?
Yeah, dirt in a small little test tube.
Is the Field of Dreams in Iowa where everybody wants to go with their dad?
If I still had a dad, I'd take him.
Okay. Allie, you're up. What's a great baseball movie, please?
How about A League of Their Own?
A League of Their Own is number 6 on the list. You have a point. Well done.
It's like a female to pick that one.
That's a great movie, by the way.
It is.
Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell. Kevin, you're up.
Sandlot.
Sandlot is number 5. All right. Kevin is in it to win it today. Jensen.
The Natural.
The Natural is number 4. Okay. Allie?
The one with Charlie Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
No,
One of Allie's deep dives.
Is it Ben Schwartz?
It's a wild thing, and then he comes out and he pitches.
That's the one, right? Yep. Playing for the Cleveland Indians.
Yes.
Right. And the name of the movie is?
I don't know. The Charlie Sheen movie.
Right. That's the movie, but what's the name of it? We're going to need a name.
No, I just described it to you.
Can't you get half a point for the description?
I don't think we have half points.
Okay.
Are they? Would you say that the team is playing at a professional level?
Minor leagues, all-star, professional, Major League Baseball. Major League.
Ladies and gentlemen, Major League is the movie. That is number 2.
I'll give it to her.
Look at you guys. I guess it's good that there's no clock like on Jeopardy, right? He's had all the time in the world to flail. All right, Kevin, you're up.
Wow.
I'm going to go Best in Show.
That's the show is a dog.
It's a dog show movie. Yeah.
Dogs. But they play baseball.
No.
I agree to disagree.
All right. Well, maybe you're right. I just haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
All right, Jensen, we're doing pretty well in this top 10 so far, but what do you have?
The original Bad News Bears.
The original Bad News Bears is number 9 on the list. Well done.
But he's typing into his computer.
No, I'm using the thing.
The notes. He's using notes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we can't see that.
Yep.
He's a cheater.
All right, let's do Ally McKay.
I'm going to say the greatest sports movie of all time.
Rocky?
And one that my father judges every man I've brought home on.
Raging
Bull? If he hasn't seen it.
Cool Runnings.
He is not going to be in my life.
And that is called?
It's about hockey, but it's Slapshot.
No, sorry. That's not a good one.
You know what? That didn't make the list of the best baseball movies of all
Weird.
Time.
Okay.
I'm sorry
all right.
to say. All right, let's go around the horn one more time.
Basketball.
There's a bat in it.
Right?
Basketball was the South Park guys movie.
Yes.
Their first movie. Remember
right?
about a sport that they invented that crossed baseball and basketball?
Right.
That's a pull, man.
Chip.
That is a pull.
Right. Agreed. Thank you. It was mine.
All right, Jensen, your final guess.
I'll take this home. Do we have number 2 yet?
Yes, Major League was number 2.
Number 3 is available?
Yes.
Bull Durham.
It is number 3, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Bull Durham.
I'll
well
take
done.
It.
In fact, we have the top 6
Ooh.
On the list already. And number 9. All right, Allie, your final guess. I feel like Allie's out. I mean, she used Slapshot in the last...
Oh, well, the timer. It hurts.
Just say The Godfather and we'll end this game.
The Godfather.
I'm sorry. No. Make a list. Here's your top 10, by the way. Number 10 was The Rookie. Remember that with Dennis Quaid?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a great, great movie. Number 9 was The Bad News Bears. Number 8, fairly recent movie on this list, Moneyball.
Moneyball.
We all saw and
of
loved.
Of course.
Number 7 was a great movie, another Charlie Sheen movie, where he played on the fabled Chicago White Sox team that threw the World Series.
Oh, I have that
8
one, yeah.
men out.
I would have got that.
Was number 7. Then A League of Their Own.
Shut up, Jensen. You can't just claim,
list.
Oh, yeah,
no,
I have it.
I have it on my little notes.
League of Their Own was 6. Sandlot 5, The Natural, Bull Durham, Major League, and Field of Dreams. Best baseball movies of all time. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
I think we need new Queens of the Stone Age, you guys. I feel like it's been long enough.
Oh, I'll let them know.
Okay, good.
Excellent.
I kind of miss them, is what I'm saying.
I'll call them.
Hey, Ally McKay.
Hey, Bean.
Very busy day, and what's happening today?
It's pretty busy.
Stuff.
And as I was getting ready with stuff this morning, Bean suddenly just wanted to talk all about Jeopardy. And I was like, listen, I want to talk about Jeopardy all the time, but right now you want to do it because I'm clearly busy with something.
Yeah, sure.
It's insane. But just so everybody knows, last night's Jeopardy, 34-year-old professional sports gambler James Holzhauer topped the $1 million mark.
Has that ever been done before?
Yes. In early 2000, whatever it was, Ken Jennings had $2.5 million, but that was a 74-game run. So okay. 74 games, he finished up with $2.5 million. James is on game 14.
Wow.
And a staggering 14-day total of $1,061,554.
Who cares?
Wait, what? 1,061. I'm turning it to Dave. 1,061,554.
You know what? I'm glad I get to say this on air. Who cares?
Well, Bean, you cared earlier, so I'm
only
I'm
when you were busy.
You
now,
He has now beaten the one-day highest total record 6 times over. You guys,
well, who cares?
Those are all his totals. That's insane.
Who but cares what you think?
I bring this up,
nobody,
because they now have a James Holzhauer tracker that you can log right onto.
I'm sorry.
It tells you games won,
oh
money
my God,
earned.
Who cares?
Average win per game. By the way, stop playing with your little drops for a second.
You know what? I'm glad I get to say this on air. Who cares?
What do you think is the average win on a Jeopardy game? What's average
normally?
For people?
You mean
yeah,
for one day?
Normally.
For one night?
Yeah.
Around $15,000.
I'd say 22.
It's about $19,000-$20,000.
Yeah.
Do you know what James is averaging per game?
Who cares?
$75,825.
I mean, that's impressive.
That's a lot for a robot.
Response accuracy, 97%.
Yeah, he doesn't miss. When he buzzes in, he always knows the answer.
The daily doubles that he goes all in on, he's been right 32 out of 35 of those times.
Oh, who cares? Yeah.
guess who cares?
I care, Ollie.
Thank you, Kevin. So here's why I bring you the story.
Because I'm obsessed with him.
Because, well, I'm obsessed with Jeopardy, and this is unlike anything anyone's ever seen. But after Jeopardy finishes, I go to my kitchen, I'm doing something, all of a sudden I hear my name on television, and I'm like, oh, what? It was Wheel of Fortune, and one of the contestants introducing herself and her husband. Hit it, Steve.
Hey, Pat. I'm Allie McKay. I'm here with my husband, Chip. We've been married for 17 years, and I'm a case manager with the Department of Disabilities and Special Needs in Horry County.
That is beautiful.
Play it again. I want to hear one more time.
Now I care.
And my husband, Chip.
That's truly beautiful.
Play it again.
Hey, Pat. I'm Allie McKay. I'm here with my husband, Chip. We've been married for 17 years, and I'm a case manager with the Department of Disabilities and Special Needs in Horry County.
What? So funny.
What are the chances?
Amazing.
Of that?
No, Chip, an alternate Chip universe, is, you guys are married.
We're married, and she's a dude. She's much taller than me, and she's bald.
Very bald.
Very bald. My emails started going off. DMs on Instagram started going off. People tagging Chip and I in their videos that they posted.
Because was, people never knew your closeness.
Nobody mm-hmm. knew how close we were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the upside down, Chip and I are married. And Chip's a dude, and she's bald. Play it again.
It's
I love
so
it.
Good.
Hey, Pat. I'm Allie McKay. I'm here with my husband, Chip. We've been married for 17 years, and I'm a case manager with the Department of Disabilities and Special Needs in Horry County.
17 years.
That's a good run, you
strong.
Guys.
Congratulations, guys.
Yeah, she did.
I love fish tacos, but are they better than eating beef tacos?
Okay.
She did tag me in something, and she wrote, "Where's my dinner?" in all caps. And I'm like, Chip, you're getting ahead of yourself now. It's a little bit crazy. Nuts, right?
That's funny.
I loved it. I loved it so much. We've talked about Britney Spears and the conservatorship that she's under with her parents. There was a report that she didn't check herself into the mental health facility last month, like everybody's reporting, that she was checked in January and she's being held against her will. And people are saying really scary things, that she's not doing this on her own.
Super shady. Can't,
super shady
stuff. Can't
tell
what's the truth, yeah.
So Britney Spears took to Instagram yesterday to address fans for the first time since she reportedly entered the mental health facility earlier that month. And here's what she had to say.
Hi, guys. Just checking in with all of you who are concerned about me. All is well. My family has been going through a lot of stress and anxiety lately, so I just needed time to deal. But don't worry, I'll be back very soon.
She then goes on in the caption saying, "Don't believe everything you read and hear. My situation is unique, but I promise I'm doing what's best at this moment. You may not know this about me, but I'm strong and stand up for what I want. Your love and dedication is amazing, but what I need right now is a little bit of privacy to deal with all the hard things that life is throwing my way.
Back the F off.
If you could do that, I would be forever grateful. Love you."
Wow. Yeah.
This is not Britney's dad.
Is that how it signed?
Is that how it ended? Yeah.
Yeah.
Her vocal fry is crazy.
She's always had that,
really?
Though. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
She never really lost her Louisiana accent.
Yeah.
Britney.
Mm.
Mm.
I'm doing fine.
So there you have it, everybody.
I think we are all in agreement
mm-hmm.
that we wish nothing but the best for Britney.
Correct.
And hope that she gets through this and she's, you know, doing what she does.
And her family.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. Really sad news yesterday. David Milch, who's the creator of Deadwood and co-creator of NYPD Blue, revealed his Alzheimer's diagnosis in an interview that was published. Beginning 5 years ago, people around him started noticing instances of what they're calling imperfect recall, tardy recall, and a short temper. And he said, "I became more and more of an acquired taste." And about a year ago,
Stop pointing at me.
About a year ago, he finally underwent a brain scan and received the diagnosis. But like I said, he created the acclaimed HBO Western series Deadwood, which aired 2004 to 2006. He also wrote Deadwood the movie, which is coming out May 31st on HBO. But just so
That's a
sad.
Very sad
it is.
So
and
sad.
NYPD Blue. And
yeah, I said he was the co-creator of NYPD
There's one other
Blue.
One. Oh, this is the second time we're going to mention it. John from Cincinnati is also his show. And it was very weird.
Wow.
And maybe that was when he started Alzheimer's, because that show did not make sense. But
I love that show. It was nonsense.
It's nonsense. But this was a bummer to me.
Yeah.
I love Deadwood more than anything. And I was so
really?
Bummed. Yeah, it's so good.
Remember when
somebody
we talked
likes the
about,
show Allie likes.
We talked about Deadwood and you guys were like, this sounds so awful. Who cares about this? And I was so pumped.
Oh, you guys would love Deadwood.
Let's talk all about Deadwood.
Too much
TV.
That's
cool, man.
Oh, such a dick. He's one of those. Oh, you like it too? I'm out. Some birthdays for you. Barbara Streisand, Kelly Clarkson, Austin Nichols, Joe Keery, and Frankie McDonald.
Order your pizzas and order your Chinese food. Buy cases of Pepsi, buy cases of Coke. And if your iPad's church, and if your iPod's church, and if your cell phone's church, and if your laptop's church, and if your tablet's church, and if your 3G and 4G ain't ready, be safe and stay safe.
Thank you, Frankie.
Frankie's the best.
He's wonderful.
I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, don't believe everything you read on the internet. But that did, yeah, I believe that's accurate.
Okay.
That did not start stop Allie from coming in yesterday with a with late breaking news from madeupbs.com.
Mm-hmm.
And she claims that this is real people responding to a real survey about a real question about being in love with your car.
Yeah, it was conducted by One Poll on behalf of Cooper Tires. And here's the title of the article that I brought in. 64% of Americans say that they consider their car a friend. More than half of Americans
I'm sorry,
are
you
friends
said
with their car.
64%.
64% of Americans.
Car.
Okay, just so we're all on the same page here, I just want to make sure I want to ferret out the weirdos.
Yeah.
Then throw out the study.
I want to ferret out the weirdos by asking, we all are in agreement that a car is a possession, right?
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
It can be a treasured possession.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a point of pride. It's certainly a convenience, but it's not a friend.
So were you saying that you haven't named your car? Like 44% of Americans?
Oh, half of Americans have named their car.
I actually have named my car. I call it my car.
Okay.
That's what I call it.
That's
See,
not
mom,
very romantic.
My mom called our station wagon Nelly.
Well, then she's in the 40-something percent.
Absolutely. 45% of people have shed real tears when it came to saying goodbye to a car.
Those people have not felt real pain.
Well, speaking of
Lucky
pain.
Them. Lucky them. That's the worst thing that's happened to them.
Speaking of pain, 15% of people would rather break a bone in their own body than have their car break down.
Stupid.
That's just stupid.
To which I say, read that Pinky. Again. 15% would rather break a bone in their own body than have their car break down. Your car breaks down, you have to have it towed somewhere, then it's there for like a week. Why not just break a pinky?
No.
Because it's on your body and it's going to hurt and your car is just a possession?
By the way, I
splint for a little while.
No, I broke my pinky and it still hurts. It's still like years later it still hurts. It rains. I know when it's going to rain.
Why am I
thing.
Shocked that your pinky still hurts?
By the way, we would like to hear from some of the weirdos at 1-800-520-1067. If you have these kind of strong feelings about your car beyond just it's a thing that gets me around, we want to hear from you.
And you know what? Well, you can convince us. We won't be mean to you. I want to hear. This
We're
going like to
try.
It's like a study.
I'm not promising.
Okay. All right. Well, everyone
My
else.
Name is Nathaniel. I'm 27 years old. And I'm in a serious relationship with my car.
There you go.
Oh, I was really looking for Nathaniel. He's a little different. But one in five would rather spend an entire day in jail than have their car get totaled.
Okay, that makes sense.
A day
in jail.
Thank you.
That one, that one actually does make
sense. Okay, so that might involve spending money on the car to get it fixed.
Well,
it's
totaled.
Okay.
You don't have a car. The
inconvenience,
yeah.
But that's not like I don't want my car to get in an accident because it has feelings and it's my best friend.
Right. I don't think any of these mean
they call it their
your car
friend.
Is feelings.
They do call it a friend. They consider it a friend.
It's a big part of your life, though. Your car is a big part
yes.
of your life. You're spending, on average, 18 full days every year in your car.
But aren't
your friend.
But aren't you sad if your car's your friend? That means you don't have any other friends.
We are going to hear from people who feel that way. Now, let me ask this question. Mm-hmm. I'm just fishing here. But, Kevin, you're a guy who, you're one of those guys who trades in his car every couple of years, right?
Yes,
like, does a
lease. Yeah.
Right. So you never really get attached to it. It's always so temporary for
Commitment
you.
So you think
if I
had it, like, a couple of years longer, I might fall for
I'm
it?
I'm just wondering if you're
making out with it.
If you're somebody like Chip, how long you had your car?
8 years.
8 years. If you're somebody like Chip, who has a long commute every day, that's her comfort spot. I'm just guessing here. I'm just wondering, talking out loud here. She gets in. That's her safe haven. That's her home for the next hour while she commutes back and forth. Do you think she would have a little stronger feelings toward the vehicle than you would, looking at just a disposable car?
Chip?
Yeah. I'm asking you.
Oh, me? Absolutely not.
If you
whatever I'm in is my safe place to drive where I'm going.
Wow, sorry, ladies.
Nathaniel is in a committed relationship with a car
right.
that he's named Chase.
Chase.
It was love at first sight. His body and then his interior and everything just together just seemed to fit. And I just felt an instant connection.
There you go.
All right. Say the word you were looking for.
Say the word tailpipe.
No, he's a little different.
All right. Let's talk to Dan before the break again. 1-800-520-1067. He's in Pico Rivera. He is first up on this topic. We're looking for people that have a strong affection for their car. You might even consider your car your friend. Dan, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for calling. Jensen promises to not make fun of you.
Yeah.
I don't.
Oh, my God. I'm so embarrassed. But good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Now, I want to say I don't love my car, but everything else applies to it. I'd rather break a bone than have my car break down. I name my car. The way I view it is that I commute a lot. I live far from where I work, and I spend a lot of time in my car.
Yeah.
And so over time, I've customized it. I've made little things. It's basically, it is, in a way, not only, like, metaphorically, but literally my second home, how much time I spend in here.
I get that. And look, nobody's saying that you don't want your car to be in good shape or to be comfortable for you or to be a thing that you enjoy driving, but it's still a possession, right?
It is, and I'll admit, I don't cry when I lose a car, but when I did sell my last car, I took like 50 pictures of it before I sold it.
Oh, Dan, I love it. Hey, Dan, out of curiosity, what's your car's name?
I'm sorry?
What's your car's name?
Actually, it's Shadow. It's a dark car.
Oh, yeah, Shadow.
All right, sounds racist.
Shadow the dark car is all one title?
By the way, we live in a world where Allie just asked Dan, what's your car's name? And it wasn't a weird question to him.
No, he had an answer.
He had an answer. How many miles you got on Shadow?
128,000.
Oh, are you starting to think about the sad day when you're going to have to put her down, when you're going to have to bury a friend?
Yeah. No, I have been, actually. It's I'm getting ready to say goodbye to Shadow.
All right. No. More pictures.
Yeah, take some more pictures. Mm. We'll give you some alone time, Dan. We'll let you go deal with the grieving process, but we appreciate you listening, sir, all right?
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
1-800-520-1067. Are you like Dan? We want to talk to you next on K-Rock.
Just out of 311, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Bree in Riverside. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Bree, do you consider your cars your friends?
No, not my friends, but definitely treasured possessions. I've named three of my cars.
Oh, now what? How did that get started? Like, most people you know probably don't name their cars. Why did you decide to do it?
Well, most people I know do name their cars or have some kind of, you know, I don't want to say affection towards them, but, you know. And it was, they were inherited, and I just felt like they had so much personality they needed a name.
I feel you, Bree. What were the names?
What were the names?
The first car I drove was a 96 Chevy Silverado, and we called her Old Green, and that was an inherited name because the previous owner named her that.
It's also okay. offensive to it's kind of ageist to call your car Old Green, I would just say.
I mean, she kind of was an old car when we got her.
Okay, all right.
So
that's
accurate.
Number one,
okay.
Right? Number two.
Uh-huh. And then it was a 98 4Runner. I called her Janine.
Janine, all right. Nice.
And then?
Yeah. And then SUV that I have right now, I call her Chella.
Chella.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I want you to get some help.
Let Bree live.
I want you. You don't have to call 911, but I do want you to call the non-emergency number of any hospital or doctor near you. And I want you to explain to them what you explained to us. And good luck with that.
Yeah,
okay?
And take the medication.
I've been told that before.
Okay.
Oh, what a surprise.
Not surprised. All right, Bree. We love you. Thank you for listening. 1-800-520-1067. You're in love with your car, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about here on the Kevin Abichu, and you're up next after 311 on K-Rock.
My car.
I find this part of them the most sexy just because of the subtle lines and curves.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give him a kiss here.
Sure.
And just kind of caress him down the side.
That's very nice.
I'm not going to judge until I see how hot his car is.
Yeah.
His car's not that hot.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay. All right.
We're talking about, what's the headline on your study again?
More than half of Americans are friends with their cars.
Consider your car a friend.
Mm-hmm. Let me introduce you to my friend, Tatiana. She's on line one. She's in L.A. She is very close with her cars. And we thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, first-time caller, very long-time listener.
Thank you, and thank you.
That is awesome. Now, tell me about Josephine.
Oh, my God. Don't tell me that I got dropped.
No, we got you.
No, you're here.
Can you not hear us?
Oh, okay.
No, good.
I just went totally silent.
All good.
Okay.
No, those are the voices in your head finally stopping.
All right, Josephine.
Josephine.
Sure.
Josephine, yes. Josephine is my baby. She's a 2017 Mustang EcoBoost, and she is bad ASF.
You can say ass.
Ass, yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, again, it's okay to like your car. It's okay to be excited about your car. Do you consider Josephine a friend? Is she a treasured family member?
Josephine bought me. I didn't buy her, and she's got total attitude.
I'm sorry, hold. How did that work?
Did she go to a dealership that sold people?
Well, the whole thing was a joke. When I was getting my other car serviced, who was named Fiona,
sure.
I was joking, and I said, I was like, oh, hey, you know, I have time to wait. Let me go ahead and test drive that Mustang. I said, I never intended to buy it. And I was test driving her, and I just got that thought that it's like, this is my car. And next thing I know, I drove off with her and dumped Fiona.
Poor Fiona.
Wow,
poor Fiona.
That's hard, man.
Wow. And is it true you won't valet your car?
Oh, absolutely not. No one is allowed to touch this car. I have to move a car so I can park it, and then they can park the other car in front of mine.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Guys, I think
you need to call us way more often.
Every day.
Where have you been all our lives? All right, Tatiana, thank you very much. Good luck.
Wow.
This is largely a lady thing, by the way.
It seems like it.
I don't know. Caesar, though, on line 5.
Let's talk to Caesar. Let's see what Caesar's got going on.
Hey, Caesar.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Well, what do you want to add to this conversation?
Okay, so in 2014, I went and I got my first car. It was a 2014 Mazda 3. And I was so proud of it. I, for some strange reason, got really attached to it. So I named it Baby Gonzo. So
I go on.
Okay. Yeah, it's Baby Gonzo. I have no clue why. I just named it Baby Gonzo.
All right.
Who can explain love, right?
Yeah. So I was telling all my friends, hey, you got to meet Baby Gonzo, Baby Gonzo. Most of my friends thought I went and I adopted a baby named Gonzo.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, and I failed to inform them that I got a new car.
Jensen, have you thought of Gonzo?
No, but Baby Gonzo,
great
yeah.
name.
Name,
great
yeah.
name. Now, Caesar, cut to when you guys were separated. What happened?
Yeah, so like a year and a half later, I went through some hardships, and then the car got repossessed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not Baby Gonzo.
No, not Gonzo.
They took Gonzo?
Yeah, they took Baby Gonzo.
And
I cried for a month, and I still have pictures of the car in my phone.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm going to get you back. Okay. So eventually, it may not be
Let
Baby Gonzo, but...
Let him finish. Okay.
Not without my Gonzo!
Yeah. And so...
All right, Anderson. Thank you. Caesar, we got to go.
No, right. I mean, just laughing at you.
We appreciate you, and we're grateful for you. And good luck with the conservatorship. Okay. Let's go to Stephanie, please. Line 7. She's in Corona. Up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Steph.
Hey, guys. Love you so much. Longtime listener.
Thank
and
you.
Bean, you're the best.
You're the best.
Well, let's wait and see if Stephanie's the best.
I feel like she is. All right. So you also have a tragic tale of being separated from your friend in the car?
I do.
What happened?
It was a short time, but it really hit me hard. So I commute a lot. I've got a 2017 Honda Accord Hybrid, and she gets me where I need to go, and she got some damage. So I had to get the bumper repaired, like the paint repaired.
Mm-hmm.
So for 3 days, I was without my car.
You visited her in the hospital, though, right?
No, I didn't. We were completely separated.
Oh,
it was
man, that must have been rough.
Heartbreak.
Awful.
It was rough. And, I had to Uber around everywhere, which was a huge pain in the butt.
Yeah.
I've got kids to get to school and all this. Anyway, so it just hit me that I really, really love my car. And I ended up naming her Rosanna after the Toto song.
Sure.
That's romantic as hell, man.
Not home.
I mean, car,
was it,
Toto, yeah.
Stephanie, was it not quite a year since she went away?
Oh. You go straight to hell.
File it.
Not only in the file.
Stephanie liked it.
But the file in hell.
Stephanie liked it.
I don't hate it.
Thank you, Kevin. That's shocking.
You nailed it.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Monday morning, by this time on the Kevin and Bean Show,
okay.
You will know the lineup, ticket details, everything to join us for the 2019 K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau.
Yay!
Unreal.
Monday morning.
It's back to being a luau. I love it.
It is, yeah. Weenie Roast and Luau, 7:15 is the time. Monday morning, we'll have all the details you need to know to join us for the summer party of the year. I've lost track of how many times we've done it. It's got to be... got to be around 25, right? I would imagine Weenie Roast.
Yeah, I would think so.
Something like that. But it's going to be fun. So Monday morning, definitely plan on being with us as we make that announcement at 7:15. Allie's here right now. It's Wednesday morning. Time for another look at what's happening.
If you see an article entitled "Nicolas Cage Angrily Sings Purple Rain at Karaoke Bar After Filing Annulment," do you click on it?
In a second.
Yes.
I break my finger clicking on it so fast.
What if
I option it into a film and I then watch the film I've made?
What if another one says, "Nicolas Cage mournfully sings Prince's Purple Rain at karaoke."
Oh, both.
I'm watching everything that has Nicolas Cage in the headline.
Yeah, that's my sequel.
Nicolas Cage aggressively sings Purple Rain at karaoke bar. Here's what happened.
And this was during the weekend where he blacked out and married a chick?
Oh, no. This is after the annulment. This
is recent.
He's working through
mourning.
Some stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's sobered up.
Yeah, this happened on Sunday in Koreatown.
Oh, my God.
And I want you to really understand what's going through him when he's singing this. He got married. 4 days later, he's like, "This is awful. Mm-hmm. I was not in the right state of mind. She is not the person I thought I married." 4 days. We're done. It's over. She then decides she needs spousal support. Like, he is working through some stuff on a stage Sunday in Koreatown. Hit it, Steve.
Let me give purple rain, purple rain, purple rain.
Woo!
Purple rain, purple rain.
Baby.
Very emotional.
The greatest of all time.
Uh-huh. I don't think so.
The alleged drinking should stop.
Oh, you think that was alcohol fueled?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's karaoke. I mean, it should be. If you're sober karaokeing, we need to talk.
Right, agreed. That's the only way you can do it.
Who's with me? Although, have you ever been to a karaoke bar?
And no.
You, really?
What?
No, I've never been to a karaoke bar.
You're so lucky.
Oh, I think
love
we
it.
Need to.
Are you kidding? I love
it's
it.
It's pretty fun.
Small hot take Jones here, but I think that all karaoke songs should be 25 seconds.
Oh, dear.
Because
oh, dear
here's God. Why. Because it's funny at first, like, oh, they're doing Daisy Dukes or whatever. They're doing Purple Rain. And then you're like, oh, no, there's a minute and a half left, 2 minutes left. It's too long.
Depends on how good bad they are.
Because
if they're bad enough, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Kevin, do you get up and sing at karaoke?
I haven't in a while.
What is your song when you have?
I don't even remember. Working for the weekend, maybe.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I did not see that
That's
coming.
Great answer.
Allie, how about you?
I have done karaoke before. Usually you'll find a friend and you'll do like a song from Grease. It's the most basic white girl comment that you could ever do.
Don't Stop Believing is the most basic.
Yeah, that's a big one. But I will say this. You go to a karaoke bar and you're with your friends, you're drinking, and depending on what time you get there, the earlier you get there, the more professional the people are, because those people are there. They just want to try out their song. They're probably not drinking. Maybe they're having an appetizer, but they're there to sing.
Yeah, they go before the line.
Truly sing. And it is something to see, especially here in LA. You're like, okay, that person could have a record
deal. I don't want to listen to people that can sing well. I want people that are drunk.
Well, that comes an hour, 2 hours later.
Are you good at it?
No.
Okay.
No.
But you have fun.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun.
Bean, by the way, was by your house at a bar called the Cat's Meow.
That's where you did your Loverboy tribute?
Wow.
It was a stunner.
That's awesome.
I feel like maybe we need to go karaoke.
I'm not positive that's the case.
Maybe Friday night after Foolishness?
Would that be a singles party karaoke?
Oh, it's a great idea.
Absolutely.
That's a very good idea.
I can't make it.
Oh, wow.
How do you
feel? Don't need you. Great idea.
How do you feel about poor Nicolas Cage not being able to work through his feelings without having it be on someone's cell phone and then released to the world?
Yeah.
Like, should he be allowed to grieve privately, or should it be on TMZ?
But he didn't do it privately.
I know, but if it had been you or me or Allie,
no one would have cared.
Nobody would have cared.
By the way, there's great karaoke bars, especially in Koreatown, where you can get your own room.
Your own little room. You can have five friends in there.
He could have worked through it.
Drinks right to you.
Yeah.
No, he wanted to be on stage in front of people.
Okay.
For sure.
And I love it. And I support it.
I speak for Nicolas Cage.
You do.
We all speak for Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, what's going on is Zachary Levi will be suiting up again the Shazam star, will probably just be in a suit. You don't even know what he's doing.
The MTV Video Music Awards?
No.
The MTV Movie Awards?
No. He's being sued, so he has to go to jail.
Oh, no.
So he's wearing... Nah, wouldn't that suck?
Take it back.
No. He will be suiting up for the 2019 MTV Movie and TV Awards in June. It's happening June 17th at the Barker Hangar in Santa Monica. He's going to be emceeing it.
Great choice.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Great choice.
And I agree, but that thing's still a... Is that still a thing?
It's still a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the last time we'll hear about it until the day after when people will say, hey, that was on yesterday. Yeah. We'll go, really? I missed it.
And people might be treated to some musical numbers because he is quite the singer.
Zach Levi.
That's Nicolas Cage.
Oh.
In 2016, he earned a Tony nomination for Best Leading Man in the Broadway production of She Loves Me.
Wow.
He also showed off his vocal chops in Disney's Tangled. He was Flynn Rider, and he sang an Oscar-nominated song, I See the Light, with Mandy Moore. Did any of us know this?
No.
No,
I did not.
Well, I should probably double check this whole thing because
that makes you doubt it.
I feel like one of us would have known
not necessarily
any of that.
Huh?
He was Chuck.
Yeah, he was.
He was also Chuck.
Yeah, I didn't think Chuck sang.
I didn't either.
That's a very impressive resume for a guy who we didn't know sang.
Very impressive. Then again, Bean didn't know he was on one of his favorite shows while watching it.
That's true.
He said, "Oh, there's a guy on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel looks a lot like Zach Levi," and I said, "Oh, you mean the story I did a month ago saying he was going to be on this season of Mrs. Maisel?" He goes, "Well, he looks just like him." he really said that.
The dude I was watching looked so much like Zach Levi. I was stunned.
How can you not make that next step to maybe it's Zach Levi?
Never occurred to me.
Okay. We're talking about
never
you.
Occurred to me.
It's you. You guys, that's you guys. Like, it's the way everyone talks about it. It's like we're talking about someone who's not in the room. You're right here.
I mean, that's true.
I didn't think it was Zach Levi. He just really looked like him. That's all.
Dope.
Okay.
Is that a dope?
I guess.
That was very odd. You guys, when we come back, we're going to talk, again, more cameras that we don't know about.
Conspiracy Alley
has been proven right time and time again.
People are watching.
Quite frankly, I'm sick of winning.
Yeah, it's got to be exhausting.
Thank you.
Your electric toothbrush can see you. I mean, it's going to be one of those, right?
Oh, I hope it can, because sometimes.
Okay.
What? Kelly Clarkson, happy birthday. Barbara Streisand, Joe Keery, and Frankie McDonald.
Our friend David Alan Greer has a lot going on. He's got a hit TV show on. He's got a new movie coming out. Two new movies coming out. He'll be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. That's coming up at K-Rock. And don't forget, we're giving away tickets for the big show this Friday night at the Microsoft Theater, 11th Annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. Now, these are the good seats, right?
Right.
This is the up-close and personal.
Mm-hmm. The ringside seats.
With the VIP pre-party and the whole deal. We're going to be looking for punchlines this time around. So you can call now, I guess, if you want, or you can call in a couple of minutes, but 1-800-520-1067. We just want the punchline, not the joke. Somebody wins the tickets to join us Friday night, including the Kevin and Bean rap battle and so much more.
All right. How did this get started with celebrity interactions on Twitter?
How did it get started?
I was doing the story yesterday about Ariana Grande doing a bunch of stories on her Instagram about how much she loved Jim Carrey.
Right.
And then Jim Carrey reached back out to her on Twitter, and it was just kind of this interesting little moment you saw between Ariana Grande, who has loved Jim Carrey since fourth grade. He was part of like her AIM chat name.
Yeah, it was like Jim Carrey fan 42 or something.
Insane.
Which
insane.
Made me realize there were 41 others.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's also fun to see a superstar who, in a moment where that Instagram came to her from Jim Carrey, she just fangirled out.
Yeah, she's like, I need a minute.
Yeah,
guys.
It didn't matter that she's a celebrity and arguably way more famous than Jim Carrey. All that mattered is that the guy she loved reached out to her.
Very cute.
And we just started talking about how we kind of all have had that instance where we have been surprised that a social media responded to something because we're just nobodies, regular people, and then somehow you get in their orbit for a minute and it's kind of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I'll start if you want.
Sure.
I found myself, and Kevin, you're going to find this hard to believe, but I found myself one day actually not changing the radio when a Pitbull song came on.
What?
And I was shocked by it. Because I kind of feel like you
do. This is Kevin's nightmare.
What? I kind of feel like you do about Pitbull, which is that
I can't change it fast enough.
Yeah, he's not necessary.
His music is fine, though. It's just when he starts.
Yeah.
Then you got to move.
Yeah, so I tweeted out. I said, I don't know. I don't remember the exact words, but I was like, I don't know if I'm coming down with something or what, but a Pitbull song came on the radio, and I didn't switch it immediately. What's wrong with me?
You didn't at Pitbull, though.
Of course I did.
Bean.
Of course I did.
Why would you do that?
So, like,
it's kind of a compliment, though.
It was me saying that.
It's backhanded.
No, it is.
But he's saying Pitbull. I'm coming around on Pitbull.
he's saying that I also always changed the channel up until that day.
And that I might be coming down with something, yes, which is why I was slow on the
Pitbull
response.
Fever, right.
So, like, 45 minutes, am I shocked to see put Pitbull in my timeline who says, you be all right.
Did it make you like Pitbull even more right then? Absolutely.
I thought it was an awesome way for him to respond.
100%.
To remind you Pitbull haters, which I am not.
Which I am.
This is a man who traveled to Alaska because the internet voted to send him to a city that's never had a concert before.
Uh-huh.
And he went and played for like 30 people in freezing cold because he knew the joke was funny.
Look,
that's awesome, but it doesn't make him a good singer.
God
rapper.
Bless him.
I will tell you, I've seen him host TV shows before and he seems energetic.
Personable.
Mr. 305.
He's Mr. Worldwide. Right.
He looks like he's made of cocaine, but he is awesome.
So that was my momentary brush with greatness, I guess, on social
love
media.
It.
That's a good one.
How about you, Ellie? I'm sure you've had a bunch.
I have two that I love. One that I just retweeted on my Twitter, at Allie McKay. And I don't know if y'all were with me when I had a cable guy show up that when I opened the door, I went, oh, God. And he's like, what? And I'm like, you are buff Trevor Noah is what you are.
And you're not exaggerating.
No. He looks just like him.
And
exactly.
I wound up live tweeting his whole visit there. And people were like, post a picture. I'm like, I'm getting to it. So I wound up tweeting a picture. Behold, my cable guy, buff Trevor Noah, only in L.A. You're welcome. I didn't at Trevor Noah, and I didn't have to, because the thousands of replies that I got. When you look at the picture, you'll understand.
Oh, it is buff Trevor Noah.
He literally is Trevor Noah.
Yeah.
Trevor Noah sees it, quote tweets it, and writes, why are you exposing my side hustle?
That's a very
Which
good one.
Was very
That's
funny.
Pretty strong.
Especially since he was on hiatus that week, so people were like, wait. It could be him. I'm like, look at the arms. It's not him.
Your cable guy laid some cable that day, I understand, by
the
way.
Oh, no. He's married, has children. He's a wonderful man.
To you? With your kids?
I wish. Oh.
He really looks like he should be making a porn called The Daily Ho or something. I mean, he really... I'm just saying.
Congratulations
Daily
on that.
Ho.
You look at the guy. I'm just saying.
He could be a model, too.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. He's a super good-looking buff dude.
Tell me more about The Daily Ho.
Yeah. I'd like
to hear a summary of it. How does that go?
So there's a pizza delivery guy.
But you read it, wouldn't you?
Oh, God. But I have one other one, which to me was awesome. I've talked about it on the air before. When I was a little girl, and I was so thrilled to be sitting next to the superstar on the plane. And as soon as he got up to use the bathroom, I turned to his wife and I said, what's it like to be married to Gallagher? And his wife laughed because her husband was David Crosby. So I wound up tweeting, I wonder if David Crosby remembers a flight where an 8-year-old girl whispered to his wife, is it cool being married to Gallagher? Because that was me. He responds, Graham Nash actually used to tell people I was Gallagher. Funny as hell. Then one time he did it to me, and a guy came up to him and said, hey, Mr. Manilow, I love your music, and I'm still laughing. I'm like, I got some Crosby, Stills, Nash juice right there. That's excellent.
From a story that started when you were 8.
Yes!
That's
some weirdness right there.
Quite a long con, yeah.
How about you, Kevin? Have you ever been surprised by somebody who's responded to something on social media?
I was trying to think about this. Not really. I don't really look at my ads all that much.
He has to learn how to use it.
You know, I have seen your ads, and that's probably why this is probably better. How about you, Jensen?
I have a real serious one first, but Henry Winkler once promoted my book.
Awesome!
Whoa.
Which was, like, such an incredible feeling. He was like a second dad to me growing up on TV. Like I was so into him.
Mm-hmm.
And so just seeing him promote my book was bonkers.
You didn't know him?
No.
In real life, he's that good.
Yeah,
he's that nice.
I guess
amazing.
He had been following me for years and was like, I love this dude. His book's probably great.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
That endorsement meant more to you than anything anybody said about that book.
Yeah, or anything my dad's ever said to me. And then the other one that I really like is from, well, two that I like. One is that I one time tweeted, let's turn this Pizza Hut into a pizza home, which is just a stupid joke. And then DiGiorno Pizza, the verified account, just wrote no. And then 30 minutes later, Pizza Hut wrote at DiGiorno, at Jensen Karp, yes.
What? You started a battle.
A pizza battle.
I remember retweeting your
pizza. It's just
pizza
the best.
Home.
Yeah, oh, it was so funny. Weird. And then the other one that I like is one time Seth Rogen was taking questions like on Twitter mm-hmm. before The Night Before, which is a movie he put out. Mm-hmm. And he was like, ask Seth any question. And so I wrote, Seth, do you remember when Joey Fatone... Joey Fatone. I said, do you remember when Joey Fatone went on Cribs and showed that he had a Benihana table at his house? And do you think that most things on Cribs were rented?
Did you ask Seth Rogen that question?
I don't know. It's a question I've always had in my life. Like, remember when we watched Cribs and you're like, they can't own that? It was probably rented. It was just a thing I have in my head. And then randomly a couple minutes later, Seth sent this video.
Hey, Jensen. I do remember the Cribs episode with Joey Fatone and he had his own Benihana table. He also, I think, had an inflatable outdoor movie theater. And it didn't occur to me that he could have rented it just for the day until right now. Wow. Maybe he did just rent it. Does that mean that other guy didn't actually have a... Does that mean Tommy Lee doesn't have a Starbucks? Was that rented? You just blew my mind, Jensen. You blew my mind.
And that was pretty sweet.
Wow. It's amazing. But
also,
a video.
He did have an inflatable movie theater. That's the other thing I love about Joey Fatone's house.
Of course he did. I just remembered another one because this man's running for president.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Cory Booker was doing like a Ask Me Anything, but on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
My go-to when it's an Ask Me Anything, and I've done it to David Duchovny, who has responded. I've done it to people just because it's so stupid and people are like, they're not ready for this question. So I said, at Cory Booker, do you think it's weird that Tarzan doesn't have a beard? I mean, because what's
he
shaving
out in the
with
wild,
out there?
Yeah.
And where's he shaving?
He quote tweeted it and just wrote, yes! So
Cory Booker 2020?
I need him to become president because really, I blew his mind.
You need to frame that, print it out. Don't forget, online voting ends this morning at 10 a.m. So like an hour and 40 minutes from right now. And we'll be announcing the grand prize winner tomorrow morning as to who will be opening up the show Friday night at the Microsoft Theater. Who's the first comedian to take the stage on a lineup that includes Adam Ray, Felipe Esparza, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie Ife, Jamie Lee, and Ray Romano. So you can go to KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean page, and vote for who you want to open the show. Right now, though, let's give away some tickets to that show. If you haven't already bought them at AXS.com, this is the pre-show VIP party and ringside bag. And this is called Punchlines.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Can you tell us a punchline today? Make us laugh, you'll scream hooray. Don't be stupid or you will get dissed. You won't get into it for foolishness.
All right, so no jokes unless you're the winner, right?
Yes. Correct. We don't want to hear the rest.
Just the punchline. All right, we'll take them in order, and we're doing this. We're doing this knockout style.
Yeah. Correct.
So if you are the best, you stay on the line. The first caller could win. Let's find out.
Juan in Paramount. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You're in the lead. Congratulations,
Juan. We don't want the joke. We just want the punchline.
Out of what?
Out of what?
Oh, wow.
Out of what?
All right. I
That's
am intrigued.
Extremely unsatisfying.
Okay. But the joke may tie it all together.
Yeah, maybe.
It may.
All right. Let's see who can try to knock off Juan.
Hi, guys. Hi, guys. It's Marshall. I'm so excited to talk to you. I really, really want to win this. I actually have two punchlines because I want to do extra credit. I really
Marshall,
want to
hold
win.
On. 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Do you want to join the show? Like forever?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay, listen, Marshall, we are fingers crossed that you're great and that you win, but you know you can get tickets as cheap as $30 to buy them and be there for
you. I know, but this is for my girlfriend's belated birthday present. I want to get her the extra special tickets. That's I'll do two of them for extra credit.
Well,
okay?
No, that doesn't work.
Pick your favorite, Marshall.
First of all, take a breath.
Yeah.
And then pick one.
Okay.
All right, what's your favorite punchline?
Okay, wow, somebody took a selfie.
Okay.
Wow,
right.
Somebody took a selfie.
That was very good, Marshall. Now you hold on. Don't die on us, okay?
Okay, I'm here.
Okay,
thank you.
I just worry he's going to hyperventilate.
Are we doing battle so we get rid of Juan and keep Marshall?
I think Marshall's sticking around. I'm sorry.
I know it does endorse methamphetamine use, but we should stick with Marshall.
Okay, good.
Somebody took a selfie. That's a good punchline.
Let's go to Tracy in Woodland Hills. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Tracy. We're talking to a normal person now. This is so relaxing having you on the phone.
I was like, oh, right. That's how it's supposed to go.
That's how it's supposed to sound.
All right. What's your punchline?
Okay, the punchline is because Ken came in another box.
Oh, wow.
because can't get another box.
Wow.
I mean,
it's funny.
I got to be honest. I like that one.
Who wants to break it to Marshall?
I think I'm still selfie.
We are Marshall.
I am too. I'm We Are Marshall too. I'm sorry, Tracy, but thank you for calling anyway. So far, Marshall's in the lead.
All right. Let's go to Josh in La Habra. Hi.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Good morning.
Morning, Josh. Let's hear your punchline, sir.
With Little Caesars.
Nice read.
With Little Caesars. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm still Marshall.
Are we still Team Marshall?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Uh-oh. Let's go to Nicole, who's calling us from Long Beach. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. Long time, second time.
Thank you.
The punchline is, when the cake popped out of the girl.
When the cake popped out of the girl.
Well, I do like Max Headroom's joke, but I'm going to go with We Are Marshall. So.
Hey, I was at that party. It was pretty cool to see.
Okay.
Thank you, Nicole. I think it is still Marshall. All right, we got time for a couple more. We're doing punchlines for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. This is the pre-show VIP party and the ringside bag as well, the Microsoft Theater this Friday night.
Luke in Redondo Beach. Good morning. Hello.
Oh, what is up, guys?
Hey, Luke.
Just looking for a punchline.
Hi. First of all, Marshall doesn't even have a girlfriend. He's just pulling your leg back.
How dare you say what we were all thinking?
Yes, exactly. We can't all see her. But my punchline is, all right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
So then I says, mustard, more like poo-poo on. Are you killing me? That's legendary.
No, one more thinking.
That's legendary, my boy.
I didn't like the way he pooped on Marshall. I didn't care for
I'm
that.
I'm going with Luke, though. I love
but
that. It's a better punchline.
He's also in the competitive spirit, too.
I'm sticking with Marshall.
I'm going Luke.
I think I'm going over Kevin's side. I think I'm now Team Luke.
Allie? I, too, am Team Marshall just because I want to meet him. So, Chip, you have to be the deciding factor.
Why do we have
this.
Four judges?
Marshall or Luke?
Yeah!
Sorry, Marshall.
Oh! Luke is in the lead.
Rest in peace, Marshall. Unreal.
That was a knockout in the 12th round,
unreal.
You guys.
Didn't you guys want to meet Marshall?
I do. Right? I really do, but we're playing by punchlines,
right?
Know?
I mean, I feel like Luke had a strong punchline.
Okay. Yeah. All right, okay. Let's try Martin. Let's take one more call and see if Luke stays on top.
Hey, Martin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. First time. Very contentious battle here today. Yeah, let's see what you're bringing.
Because they would have eaten the snake.
Because they would have eaten a snake.
I mean, Poupon was a performance for me.
Yeah, I think so.
Sticking with Luke.
All right, I think it's good. I'm sorry. Thank you, Martin. We appreciate you playing. Appreciate everybody playing. Luke, you're the winner. First of all, congratulations.
Woo!
All right, we're going to see you and your imaginary girlfriend on Friday night. Could we hear the joke, please?
Oh, dead serious. I don't even have the answer to the joke because I walked in. I used to deliver mail in a business office, and I walked in the office, and the CEO told that joke, and everyone died laughing. I Googled that one forever.
Dude, he does
one without the joke.
Wait! He doesn't even have a joke.
I swear to God, that is the honest
Marshall!
God truth. I've never heard
Marshall!
The
Marshall!
That joke.
Marshall!
Marshall! Marshall! Marshall! Marshall!
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline.
Outrage on Twitter.
Outrage.
Oh, yeah. That feeling that Marshall got screwed. Is that what it was? Yeah. Well, I mean, it is part of the thing is you tell the joke if you're punchline.
We got Marshall back. We gave him tickets.
Game tickets, right, yeah.
So we gave him both tickets.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're magnanimous.
Even the cheater.
Even the cheater.
Yeah. I know. Hey, I know you always yell at me when I tell you this, but, you know, tomorrow, first of all, is 1/3 Christmas. So what I think what my point is that the year is flat.
No. It's rare that it happens in studio.
But... No, I'm here. Yeah. I'm just saying the year is flying.
Yeah, you're cutting out, Bean, unfortunately.
I'm now talking about the wiener, so let it sit. Okay, the year is flying by.
I'm sorry. Let it sit.
Because
that's the mic.
Is that technical jargon?
Because once you get to 1/3 Christmas, the Wheatie Roast is right around the corner.
Bean!
And we're going to be announcing the Wheatie Roast lineup.
He's yelling now.
Monday morning, you guys. Monday morning right here on K-Rock. 7:15, all the details you need to know about this year's K-Rock Wheatie Roast and Luau.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
The rocket ride, that is David Alan Grier, has arrived.
Correct.
By the way, we're all going to be climbing on, coming up right after 9 a.m.
Are we?
I mean, you know what it's like when you go on a journey with Dag when he's here, man. Very excited about that. Love him. Hey, Allie.
Lucky for us, we don't need to talk at all, though.
He kind of takes care of
it. Just carry the whole thing.
Nice.
What's going on with you?
Well, the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences, they've approved the rule change for the upcoming 92nd Academy Awards.
No host forever?
Most prominently,
it's
Netflix.
Only 90 seconds long?
No. Oh. Netflix has been protected and will still be eligible for awards that move... might be something that Steven Spielberg isn't thrilled about. That's what he campaigned against.
So the controversy is it still a movie if it's made for your television screen, a la Netflix?
But it also is in movie theaters for a little portion of time, to make it eligible.
Yeah. Which is like all movies, even the tiny release movies, as long as they play in L.A. and New York for a week, they're considered eligible.
And he seems to have backed down from it. He told the New York Times, big screen, small screen, what really matters to me is a great story, and everyone should have access to great stories.
Well, it helps that he was the keynote speaker in the Apple TV debut. So,
but what? But why? Why was he even there? What was he doing? It was just ridiculous.
It was crazy.
It was, and everybody was like, "Oh, that's why you hate Netflix, because right. you're here for Apple,
producing amazing stories."
Yeah,
for Apple.
Right. We get you, Steven Spielberg.
Do you guys agree with this ruling from the Academy?
Yes,
movies are movies.
Absolutely, absolutely. But his quote goes on to say, "However, I feel people need to have the opportunity to leave the safe and familiar of their lives and go to a place where they can sit in the company of others and have a shared experience, cry together, laugh together, be afraid together, so that when it's over, they might feel a little less like strangers." Do movies cease to exist? Can we not go to a theater anymore because of this ruling? Calm your teeth.
No, I think what he's
Steven
saying is
Spielberg.
Let's not lose the specialness
experience.
Of the movie theater.
I get that, but this just in. When I leave a movie, I'm not like, hey, strangers, we really experienced something together, didn't
let's
we?
Let's hug.
No.
Let's all get each
no
other's
one
numbers.
Is also, feeling that.
Also, no weekend in the entire year will show us more that theaters are still alive than this coming weekend.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah,
so nothing is dying, bud.
I know that I am alone on this.
Mm-hmm.
If I never set foot in a movie theater again for the rest of my life, I would be perfectly happy.
I'd be bummed. I love it.
I don't mind seeing every movie I'll ever see forever
but
on
But you
my
don't like
TV
people.
Screen. Exactly.
I love it.
They make everything worse.
Kevin is so different from you because I feel like if
terms
you had,
of movies,
yeah if you had your choice, you would always go to a movie.
Agreed.
So if somebody showed up at your door as you were leaving to go see Avengers Endgame on Saturday morning and said, "Here is a beautiful 4K edition of Avengers. You can watch it in your home. You don't even have to go."
Easy.
You'd beat it, kid.
I'd go.
You'd
to
head
the,
right to the
I'd
theater.
Go to the theater,
even though he's handing you a copy to watch.
Yeah.
Wow.
I bet you'd say to him, "Sir, let's go have a shared experience. Let's laugh together, cry together, really become one as strangers.
Let's rediscover our humanity."
Yeah, just guys being guys in a theater, right?
Stop with the motion.
Oh, nobody can see that? Okay, my bad.
What the hell does Steven Spielberg know about movies anyway?
That's what I'm saying.
As if he's been to, like, the Fallbrook AMC 7
Thank
in, like,
you.
30 years.
Thank you. Speaking of Avengers Endgame, Fandango reports that the upcoming three-hour movie has already sold out more than 4,000 screenings in North America. And we found out yesterday that AMC is going to do 24-hour screenings on Thursday through Sunday. So
if you're homeless, you know where to sleep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a choice right there.
One way of looking at
it. Yeah, going to the movies does sound fun.
3 hours. Just sleep in there.
But in terms of spoilers, 57% of people that want to see Avengers Endgame have decided, "I'm going to unplug from social media for the next few days. I don't need to be a part of it." And to those people, I say kudos. And to those other people that are constantly tweeting, "I don't want to hear any spoilers," get off of Twitter.
Hey, spoiler alert.
I mean, honestly, it's a couple of days.
Yeah.
You're going to be all right.
You'll live.
You're going to be just fine.
Although I'm nothing without my followers. I do know that.
I have heard a great woman say that once. Absolutely. Bean, we talked yesterday about those persistent rumors of a feud between Prince William and Kate Middleton against Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Mm-hmm.
But now...
Celebrity
people
deathmatch?
Are saying,
is that what they're doing?
People are saying... But they're at least doing well wishes to each other on Instagram. Like, they posted a picture of their kid that just turned one, and then
George.
They'd write back, whatever.
Or Lewis. I think it was Lewis this week,
Yeah, happy birthday, Lewis.
He's petting his tattoo.
Sending lots of love from both of us. But how would they say that with an accent, do you think?
I'm not going to do this again.
No,
this is becoming an everyday bit.
Especially in front of the great David Alan Grier, who's getting ready to step in here.
Listen, he has a Jamaican accent in his movie that we're going to talk about.
He's outstanding at it.
think if he's in there, he's listening. He's like, I want to hear Bean's accent. Maybe get some tips if I ever have to play an English bloke. Hit it.
Congratulations on Lewis's birthday. He looks good.
Okay, he's one, first of all. That's creepy. Switch it up so it's less Ringo.
It's a cute picture.
Why is it all that?
I don't know. Look, I don't have an accent.
Maybe say something about what if I add a cake emoji.
What if I don't even understand what you're
just
talking.
Just say it. Just to the end of the tweet.
What if I add a cake emoji?
Okay, a little better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's hiring me over Dag for the accent, I'll tell you that.
I don't know. That was pretty
I've
good.
Not heard him do a British accent.
Okay. Yeah, we don't know.
So we don't know.
Yeah. I bet he can do it. The man's a miracle.
Mm-hmm. He is a miracle.
Let's get right to him.
Okay. You want? Yeah, let's wrap this up. Birthdays, Barbra Streisand, Kelly Clarkson, Joe Keery, and Frankie McDonald. And oh, hey, Frankie.
Look at your tremendous beard.
Behold.
That's fantastic.
You do look Old Testament, David Alan Greer.
I feel biblical.
You do. You look like you should be coming down a mountain with some tablets.
I do. I love it. I love it. It's all like and Jim Carrey. I mean, I don't think he has his beard now, though. He shaved his
beard. Yeah, I think he did.
Who has you, man?
Who has the craziest, what's his face? The Crazy Quaid. He's got the beard like that.
The Crazy
Which
Quaid.
Which one?
The crazy one.
There's the real crazy one.
Yeah, that one.
Who, what's his big
name?
Dude.
From Vacation.
Yeah, from Vacation. Mm-hmm. What's
Randy.
His name? Randy. Randy's got that beard.
He's the crazy one. Yeah. Is that the one where, like, was it the FBI was looking for
him? Oh, yes.
Oh, he fled to Canada. Canada.
Yeah, fled to Canada. Yeah. Fled Canada. No, I lived, grew up in Detroit.
They'll never find us in Windsor.
They will.
You know, we all have celebrity sightings in Southern California, and I tell the story. In fact, I told it to the room earlier this morning that one of my favorite celebrity sightings ever was seeing Dag walking down Melrose with no shirt on, but wearing overalls. And I thought, that is a baller.
No shirt, but overalls.
I thought, that is a baller move.
This had to be back in the day.
Oh, were
you
in the day.
Singing Come On, Eileen?
First of all, I hope I hit the gym.
Okay, yeah.
No, you looked good. You could pull it off.
My man breasts.
You were a young man back then. But I'm delighted to say that in 2019, he still has those overalls.
Well, first of all,
he's wearing them today.
Yes. I have been declared a fashion god
by
GQ.com for my overalls.
Are you kidding me?
There's an article that, let me digress for a minute. You know, when you pay a publicist thousands of dollars a month, it's really comforting when the guy at the UPS store finds a story nobody else knew was out there. But anyway, that being said, so my UPS guy goes, dude, have you seen this article? And he showed it to me, and it was like, why are all these dudes wearing overalls? And it's like all about me. Like,
is it coming back? Down.
Yes, apparently.
It's coming back because I still have overalls.
You need to read this thing.
Okay.
Go on GQ.com. Not only is it coming
back. I'm not positive you can pull it off, Pete.
Well, trust me. They didn't say, they said fashion god.
Yeah.
That's my low-key drip.
Yeah.
I've been keeping steady.
That's legit praise.
Yes, man. So I tell my daughter, she's 11, she's like, no.
Oh, my God. Full-blown picture
to
at the top of the article.
Keep scrolling down.
Cool dudes everywhere can't stop wearing overalls?
Are you sure you're not on farmersonly.com?
Wow.
I feel like Dad could be the face of that.
But you know what's not cool is I'm a little too excited. I'm like been showing everybody. I'm a fashion guy. Yeah.
Look at this. Read it.
I'm a fashion guy.
Scroll down.
You have had a remarkable career that continues with you're on a hit TV show right now on Fox.
Yes.
You've got all these movies coming out. We're going to cover all of that. But when you got the call for the Cool Kids, I have to ask, is it the first time in your life that they said, we need you to be older?
Well, it was a transition because I really feel like, being serious for a moment, I was caught in a trick bag, meaning people perceived me as younger. I was getting older, yet I could not quite pull off the dad role yet. And so when I did this movie, Peoples, that's when I played Kerry Washington's dad. But I'm psychically and emotionally, I'm ready. I mean, let's go. I'm going to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Give me all the old black dudes.
Right? Yeah.
So
I started, but it took a couple more years. And then the Carmichaels was the first time where I feel like everybody was, we're all on board, and I love it. I mean, it's also...
I miss that show.
Well, that was a crime against America that show got canceled, by the way.
It was such a great role. I mean, it was the only time, really, where we would have a scene where literally laughing and crying through the same scene.
Yeah.
Like when my mom wanted us to help her with assisted suicide. And I really, when we did it in front of an all-black, mostly audience, and I was like, we didn't know until they actually said cut if they were going with us.
Right.
Because when it really got to that point.
A little nerve-wracking.
Exactly. Some dude in the back was, don't do it, Lord. Don't do it. Oh, no. Man, stop it. I was like, just look straight ahead. Keep going.
Of all the things you've been involved in, that had to hurt the most, having that show canceled, because you knew how great it was. As an artist, you knew you guys were doing great work every week.
Yeah, yeah.
And the business just hosed you.
Well, it was, but I felt fortunate that we got to do these episodes. And by the time, like any breakup, like most breakups, you knew it was, you know, the chick wasn't really into me. So it was like, just let us go.
Oh,
because, you know, NBC would hold, like the last year, they took us off the air for a year.
Yeah.
Then they ordered like 10 episodes. And I'm like,
and then they burned them like two in a night.
Yeah.
Stuff.
It was so dumb.
From 2 a.m. to 4 a.m., you know, on top of each other.
They were breadcrumbing you.
Yeah, at that point, it was like, let me go. Let me go do something else. But I loved it. I loved Rod Carmichael and everybody.
We all did.
Yeah,
we all did.
Man. Well, he's still alive. He's not dead.
But he was so young. I hated to lose him. It was so cool, kids. You're playing a 72-year-old. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I'm a transforming actor. He's old. Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't know age.
No age.
Yeah, 70. He's like Martin Mull is the appropriate age. Like he's 75, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he is for real.
Okay.
No, yes, for real.
And
so
are you still horny on your show?
We are.
All of you, right?
The best line I had is like when Vicki Lawrence comes to my room, it's late at night, I open up the door, I look down the hallway, I went, I knew this was going to happen. Like, girl, look, what are you doing, baby? Come on in here. We can't be doing this. And she's like, shut up. And I go, yeah. Yeah, old people are really horny. Like my mom, may she rest in peace. She lived to 95 and a half. And
she died before or after Jerry Carmichael? He's still alive, B. Okay, yeah,
she
got it.
She did. I'm going to say, yeah, she did.
Okay,
she died.
So before.
I think we had just kind of started, but no, she wasn't. Because, you know, she had dementia at the end. So I'm going to say she was with us, but not on board.
I was trying to just have fun. I was just making
a joke. He was making a joke about
Gerard
Carmichael
when she
dying.
Passed,
okay.
My
back to you.
Okay.
All right, so old people are horny. All right, back to that.
No, but I mean, when we would come through her cul-de-sac and she would just name, that's Bonnie's friend, Ralph. He lives there. And then, well, she died, and now he's Betty's friend. She's over there.
All friends.
Oh, yeah, they're all
friends, yeah.
This guy comes down. He goes, hey, boys!
Oh,
he looked like he was an old white guy, but he had, like, Popeyes, and I'm like, oh, boy.
Is that what it's like in a rest home? You think it's just people going crazy on each other?
Do you not remember the story about the Villages, which is a retirement home in Florida, had the highest rates of STDs in America in an old folks' little Villages community?
They do everything we do.
Yeah.
But that's
just
hard
slower.
To imagine. Just slower.
Just
a lot
more
slower.
Methodically. Yeah.
We talk about, this is our friend David Alan Greer on the Kevin Bean Show right now. We're talking about, among other things, his Cool Kids TV show, which is on Fox.
We're on the bubble. We could go either way.
Well,
so we're going to find
this
out.
Morning, it's looking good.
Oh, really?
Jensen did. Jensen said it's apparently going to be renewed is what they're leaning towards.
Isn't it great as an actor to find out things that way?
I can, again, I need to digress. I just purchased probably the most amazing thing for my home. It is a toilet that does everything.
Really? Like heats up and
it
cleans?
It heats up. When you approach it, it lights, and then it
like
lifts the thing. You sit down.
Allie's giving you a hallelujah.
I'm giving you a hallelujah because I just had a plumber, and he was telling me about a plumber coming to my house to fix,
right.
to snake my toilet. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, it's me, baby.
Okay, you're right. Tell me more about this toilet.
Okay, so you sit on it, and there's a little keypad. Uh-huh. It does everything. And by the way, I never would have bought this had I not experienced it. Like, I was going to buy a tub, and they had one in their bathroom, and I came out like an hour and a half later, like, I need a cigarette, and I'm going back in.
So are you eating, like, lots of fiber now just to spend more time?
Beans! No, but I mean, you don't have to touch the toilet or yourself. It does everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everything.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How did we get from cool kids being renewed to toilet that does everything?
Oh, it has to be renewed.
Pay for it. Okay.
And this was one of those things where, I should have waited, is what I'm saying. That's one of these purchases where I didn't order it that day, but I went home and I went, you know, you're looking in the mirror. I'm 62, man. I deserve. No, it's for me, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have to call my accountant. I mean, it brings the house down. I'm going down with it. You know, so I called the next day. I was like, I want that toilet.
Yes.
It was gold, silver, or platinum.
Oh.
I want diamond.
Wow. So
that's going to take another season.
You are making me want to poop right now.
Yeah, they're already digging a trench.
That is beautiful. Hey, quick break. Cool Kids, by the way, airs on Fox Friday nights at 8:30, and it's very funny. David Allen Greer is here. He's got a lot of other stuff going on, including more poop talk when we return on K-Rock. Are you dancing to that song, David Allen Greer?
Dancing because, you know, I was in London and my girlfriend will be working in England.
All right, his accent is as bad as mine.
No, it's much better.
It is much better. Yeah.
Let's have a British accent off.
British.
You say what he says.
Right.
David will lead.
Okay.
Right. And then you say.
Okay.
Let me get my head to go. You're a right twit, aren't you?
You're a right twit, aren't you?
You stink.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
That's you're a right twit, aren't you?
Yes.
Agreeing with him.
Yes, I am terrible.
I won't want those. I told my he told me. Yeah, that's how
okay, Gobi. Keith Richards, Gobi. By the way. No, I recuse myself. I plead the fifth. I do whatever I have to do to get out of it. You got this new movie coming out this weekend, which, by the way, wide open. Everybody's going to see Sprinter this weekend. There's nothing else in theaters. Let's face it. This weekend of all weekends, you got the whole field to yourself.
As I planned it.
But my question is, you have a Jamaican accent in the movie.
Yes, I do.
You've just done your British. Have you done a lot of accents over the years or not too many?
No, man. And, you know, Will Smith's company produced it. These guys and the writer and director, Jamaican. Mm-hmm. I Skyped with him, and it wasn't a lot of money. You know, it was an indie flick, so we didn't have time. But that was my first question. It's like, you know, yeah, I'd love to try it. I'd love to do it. This guy's an old coach, and he's coaching this young phenom who comes from a really jacked up family, all Jamaican cast. I just said, as long as you give me a coach. If you give me a coach, so they had a coach.
Yeah, because you don't want to, that would be embarrassing.
No.
Yeah.
You don't want to come off like a bumble clot.
Yeah, bumble clot, man. Cue David. Guys, come on, let's warm up.
Good pull, Allie.
Yeah, come on. You know, but the Jamaicans were so deep. Literally, the whole crew, everybody would stand around when I did my scenes, and there was like some dude, you know, go for like, no, he don't get it, and y'all didn't know.
The whole movie is subtitled. We should tell people this, but it's in English. It is.
But I will say, needed it.
Yeah,
definitely.
So,
did you fall in love with Jamaica being down there?
I fell in love with the people. You know, I'd never really been on the island. So we're in Kingston.
Kingston, man.
Yeah, and all these kids.
I'm sorry, Bees. Can we hear some more, please?
Kingston, man.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in. And it was great.
I'll show myself out.
Here's when you know you don't get the job. So they say, thank you, and you're about to leave. Oh, hey, do you still drive that Jetta? Just asking. Thank you. Bye. It was like, oh, man. But, yeah, we were in Kingston, and then my daughter came because she was on break.
And so I drove across the island to Montego Bay and stayed. It was like a James Bond, Ian Fleming resort.
That's awesome.
For nothing. You know, we had this house. We had a full staff. It was like three levels. And we were lounging by it. You know, we had a private pool.
Oh, it's fun to exploit the locals. I love it.
It was so great. You know, and I tipped everyone. Because I'm not a cheapskate. I gave everyone a little copper penny. You know. So nice. I said,
Are they the flattened ones, or are they...
I don't even
whatever.
Know if it wasn't U.S. tender.
Okay.
Anyway, and there was a... I heard a noise of... around sunset, and there was, like, fog and stuff, and I went and I asked the guy, I was like, what is that fogging thing? And he goes, ah, the Zika! And he goes by. I was like, what?
No.
What?
They're spraying for...
Honey, get in the house! Quick, everybody! Get away from the pool! Oh, yeah. It was. That's why it was half empty. That was. That's why it was... Yeah, I forgot we were there in the middle of the Zika virus.
Oh, my God!
And it was like, wow. $300 a night. And I was like, oh,
hey, this is so cheap. I can't believe it.
Yeah, just was like...
What's that?
Put the plastic bag over your face. No one breathe for another week. Poppy made a big mistake. He made a boo-boo. Don't tell Mommy. Don't tell Mommy. So that's why...
That is not what you want to hear.
No,
but I bet that was the part of the draw for you is being able to live and work in Jamaica for a while, right? I
mean, it was, but it was a role. This role's a really great role.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. It's a great story.
Everybody was in it, man, and Jamaican people. You know, it's such a tiny island, and you realize culturally and artistically how much they have affected world culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over the decades, years,
absolutely.
Hundreds of years. It's pretty amazing.
I want to buy the soundtrack, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
the music
man.
Is killer in this
Storm
movie.
Storm Salta! Yeah, man. Yes, it's great. It's great.
David Alan Greer is here. That movie is available. How can people see it this weekend? Is it on demand
in
addition in theaters?
Yeah. And that's it. There.
It's at the Regal LA Live Stadium 14 in downtown LA. Okay.
Well, I'm very involved. And what
it's at the AMC Ontario 30.
Yeah,
all right.
It's over there. It's over there.
And David just flashed to me that it's the AMC Santa Monica 7.
Because he knows.
Yes.
Well, I'm involved.
Okay. You are touring with the In Living Color guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long has it been? 25 years since that show?
Mm-hmm.
25 years.
I think it was 25 years now since we went off, so it's really about 30 years since we came on. But I'll tell you a quick story. When we did the pilot was an hour long, and we didn't get picked up for a year. And so when I would go and do other jobs, everybody had seen it, like the crew, the directors. They go, what is this tape? Because the tape started circulating. And we actually were reviewed and mentioned in Vanity Fair.
What?
Before we were picked up. And so it became this big underground thing. I never thought they would let us do it. I just never did. And I think that was the key. So we just went for broke. I mean, and just did whatever.
Do you feel that the show that was so influential for so many comedians that came after you, do you feel like it has gotten its proper due? You think it's being recognized and remembered for the groundbreaking show it was?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's not a day in my life where some stranger doesn't, either in person or online, social media now, talk about it, give me a shout out.
Really?
And acknowledge it. Yes. I never thought that.
That's very cool.
Jim Carrey was the one who said, you know, this is history. And I was like, what are you, nuts?
Yeah, we're barely on the air.
Oh, yeah. The great Robert Schimmel. He said, they were like, who's our target audience? He goes, 12-year-old crackheads. That's So, no, there was no YouTube. There was no nothing. I remember I did The Wiz in La Jolla, like in 2006. So they had the men's dressing room, the women's dressing room. Everybody had their laptops, and all these guys had their favorite sketch queued on a playlist. That whole technology was not even...
Of course.
We had cell phones. My talk time was 20 minutes.
Wow.
The whole conversation. I'll call you back. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm almost home. I'll call you back.
Do you think In Living Color is the first line of your obituary?
I don't know. I don't care.
Pretty cheery question, by the way.
Bean thinks a lot.
That's what you're first remembered for? That'd be all right, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I feel like I've done stuff. But I also know, as a fan, like Ted Knight on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, he did stuff, and I was like, yeah.
But he's Ted Baxter.
You're Ted Baxter. Come on, man. You know, and I'm not like the radar guy. I remember from MASH later in his career, they're like, I know you did a show. We're not going to talk about it. So tell us about your butterfly collection.
That's radar. What's up? I mean, they're like, we're not going to talk about the R word. So no, I'm not like that. I mean,
well, you've worked continuously.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you're out there.
I loved you in The Wiz. I'll say it right now.
I had so much fun.
That was
man.
What I...
Oh, the live Wiz
the
on
live
TV.
Wiz. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, that was my favorite of all the musicals so far that I've been on.
It was so much fun. You know, I turned my phone off that day because I said, I just want to do this. I'm not going to go on Twitter or anything.
Yeah.
So it took... So it was a whole day. It was like 12, 15 hours. And I finally got back to my trailer and I turned my phone on and this flood of emails, texts, and messages. And it usually started with, is this still your email?
Oh, people that reached out from long ago.
Yeah, I heard from women. I'm jumping on my bed with my daughter and we're singing along. We're both crying.
All right, it's getting emotional.
It is.
That's amazing.
So lovely.
That's amazing.
It was so much love that was awesome. So, my daughter and all of her friends, you know, everybody watched The Wiz. And so the next day, because that's how quick it is. It's literally like 2 days later, I fly back, and I'm walking her into school. Now, usually it's like, I got it, bye, go, I'll see you later. But she stopped, she grabbed my hand, and she's like, oh, okay. So she walks me all the way through school. And this kid behind her, this black kid goes, you're so lucky. And she goes, why? Your dad's a lion. And she goes, I know. So that lasted for about a week.
Amazing.
And then a week later. Yeah.
I just looked
That's
up.
That's a sweet week, though.
On Twitter, I put 30 minutes into The Wiz, and it's incredible. I wish we could track the number of kids watching right now that can't wait to see live theater.
Come on.
And it just, it changed
right.
for
why
so
don't
many
you two
people.
Just make out and we'll get out
until
of
the way. Lion?
Until Rent, they ruined everything. They're like,
I mean, Rent was good.
Yeah, well,
no,
it wasn't live. I know
oh,
that
no,
much.
Rent, oh, Rent was the one where the guy got hurt, and it, no, that
and
one's
they,
done.
And they aired
no,
a
Jesus
rehearsal.
Christ Superstar no, was amazing.
Jesus Christ Superstar was it, baby?
Yeah. Hey, Dad, we're out of time.
All right, bye.
We're talking about The Wiz.
I know. And we love you, and we
that
always...
That was not smooth. I
the
just like
man did the dab in The Wiz.
We always enjoy having you in, and I wish we
Thank
could talk all day.
You.
But the Cool Kids airs Friday night on Fox at 8:30. That's Channel 11,
guys.
And hopefully we'll have news of a pickup here
For
coming up shortly. And the movie is called Sprinter.
I just want to leave.
In theaters today.
Kevin and me. It's so nice to see you on the scene.
There it is. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10. And at 10 o'clock this morning is when the voting ends for the opening act for Kevin and Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness. Who do you want to see on the stage Friday night opening up a great night of comedy at the Microsoft Theater? You can go to the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com and cast your vote. We have 10 great comedians up there. Only one will open the show. And by the way, if I remember correctly, Beer Mug is going to that person's home tomorrow morning to break the news to him or her.
But yeah, I didn't think we were going to announce that.
Win.
But, yeah. Oh, really? I thought we were.
I don't think we're going to announce. I thought it was going to be a surprise.
We should really talk about that in the meeting. Allie's here now. Time for what's happening on a Wednesday.
Well, Kevin is the resident Laker fan on the show. Did you ever read Jeff Perlman's nonfiction book, Showtime, Magic, Kareem, Riley, and the Los Angeles Lakers Dynasty of the 1980s?
I did not, but I would love to. That sounds great.
Well,
you just asked Kevin if he read a book.
Well, I knew his answer would be no.
It doesn't matter what the book is, Allie. The answer is no.
That's why I then say to you, can I interest you in a TV show
yes.
based on that book?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, HBO is bringing the Showtime Lakers to the scripted arena. It's a show called Showtime. Which is weird. This is on HBO. It's a whole tongue twister.
Very confusing.
But it has received a pilot order, and just Adam McKay will direct it.
All right.
No, but wow. All right.
Frankie's excited.
Absolutely. Casting on the pilot has already begun. Production scheduled for this summer.
He's a great writer, by the way. Jeff Perlman. Yeah, he wrote The Boys Will Be Boys about the Dallas Cowboys, The Bad Guys Won about the 1986 Mets. He really picks these teams of wild players and writes incredibly about
Fantastic.
Them.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'm in.
You don't have to read the book anymore.
Right.
Which you didn't even know existed, but I'm just saying.
Kevin claims he has started a lot of books.
I've probably started 200 books.
Oh.
And I started, impressive. Like you mean like a couple pages and then don't finish?
Some. Mm-hmm. Maybe a chapter.
What does it take for you to finish a whole book?
He'll let you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you?
The only book I finished was Into the Wild. Is that the name of the book?
Oh,
where
sure.
The guy climbs Everest?
And what a dumbass, because then they made a movie about
it.
You didn't
Wait,
even...
Was it,
you didn't
it was Mount Everest? Everest? Got lost
No,
in
that
the...
was a different one then. I'm thinking of the wrong title, but it's a guy that climbed Everest.
Did you read the cover?
with the title on it?
Not positive.
Wasn't it In Thin Air?
Into Thin Air.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what it was called.
That was it. Yeah.
Thank you. I read
that. So the one book that you read, woo-hoo! You didn't know the title of.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Awesome.
Whew. That was a journey. You guys, listen, I'm not going to talk about Jeopardy and how James took over the $1 million mark last night.
Sorry, we're out of time.
In a staggering time, just 14 games. But yeah. What I will tell you is after that show airs is a show called Wheel of Fortune, which I just happened to...
Time for another guest.
Oh, who's the guest that we got?
Whoever's in the hole.
Okay.
I happened to have the TV on after Jeopardy. I was in the kitchen, and I heard my name. And I was like, what's happening? So I ran back, rewound it, and this is what I heard.
Hey, Pat. I'm Allie McKay. I'm here with my husband, Chip. We've been married for 17 years. And I'm a case manager with the Department of Disabilities and Special Needs in Horry County.
The contestant was Allie McKay with her husband, Chip. Chip! In the Upside Down. We've been together 17
That's
years.
That's sweet.
Let's play it again.
Hey, Pat. I'm Allie McKay. I'm here with my husband, Chip. We've been married for 17 years, and I'm a case manager with the Department of Disabilities and Special Needs in Horry County.
In an alternate universe, you both are happy.
Yeah, well,
and you have partners.
She has a more important job, though. The Wheel of Fortune.
Right.
One. Yeah.
Right.
By the way, Chip, we won. Yeah.
Nice.
We won.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice
thank
job.
You so, much.
So, will you be back on tonight's show, or does it not work like
that? I
don't
know how Wheel of Fortune works.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just a... Oh, no. I think they do come back, right?
I don't watch Wheel of Fortune. I don't know
Me
anything
either,
about it.
But I think they would come back. Otherwise, what a bummer.
That's the one with Vanna, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That was fun.
Was it?
A little bit. So, remember the first weekend of Coachella when the four dudes from NSYNC were right up there on the stage singing with Ariana Grande?
Do we need all of that?
Remember Lance Bass,
sure.
J.C. Chazé, Joey Fatone, yeah, Chris Kirkpatrick.
The four guys no one wanted to see.
The yeah. one that, you know, Justin Timberlake wasn't there.
Basically 98 degrees.
Well, I will tell you this. Them doing Tearing Up My Heart, vintage choreography, Ariana stepped in, did some of Justin's vocals. The response was massive. So massive that some are considering this a test run for NSYNC to hit the road again, minus Justin Timberlake. What do you guys think about that?
Did you ever see The Jacksons without Michael? Who's pay? No yeah. one is paying to go see Tito. You know what I mean?
Well,
without Justin, it's not NSYNC.
An industry source told Billboard that there is such a hunger right now for nostalgia that they don't even think that it matters as much.
I disagree with you, but I will also tell you that the Spice Girls sold out stadiums without Posh.
Without Posh.
So maybe there is something in just the experience of that band's name.
Then again, Posh, not really the powerhouse that Justin was.
It's not like that true.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, like, the way they put Adam Lambert in Queen.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of who could jump into the Timberlake spot, and I really couldn't come up with anybody.
No one, really.
No. Hmm. I mean, like, who's, like, a pop...
Right. Like Grayson Chance or somebody, or...
Like an American.
Somebody like that who's kind of well known, but this would
Justin
be a big
Justin Guarini.
Well, I don't
No, because he does the Dr. Pepper ads that I love.
Yeah.
A little pepper.
Plus, I don't think Safeway could spare him.
Yeah, they have to have him for the boxes.
Yes! Live! In person!
It happened in person.
In person!
Sorry. Live, Steve.
It just came out of nowhere. Sorry.
Oh, my God. I loved it so much.
Don't be sorry. You brought joy to all of us.
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen it in person.
I don't approve of NSYNC without JT, if anyone's asking.
Okay.
And he can go right back to the conversation as if
Amazing.
That never happened.
It's great.
Oh, my gosh.
Incredible.
It is adorable to see.
Like, not even you.
Yes. Not only is it delightful to hear, but to see it.
I don't like it when it comes out of nowhere like that. You don't even have an advance warning that you're going to sneeze.
It was an attack.
Yeah, it was an attack.
I understand, you guys. You guys big Lord of the Rings fans? Okay.
Started the books.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. And then the movies came out, and you're like, why do I need these reading things?
That's why reading is for losers, because if it's good, they're going to make a movie about it. Who's with me?
Well, the family and estate of J.R.R. Tolkien has come out against the movie Tolkien. It's a new biopic that will depict the early life of the Lord of the Rings creator. In a public statement, they said that they do not endorse it or its content in any way. I mean, don't hold back.
Jeez.
And this has a good star, right? Somebody.
Nicholas Holt will be playing the young author. Lily Collins will be playing the love of his life, who was the inspiration for several characters in Middle Earth. So, they're not really up on it. And the concerning part for them might be that Tolkien's estate, famously litigious.
Oh.
They sued the producers of the Lord of the Rings films over royalties in 2009 and went after the book Mirkwood, a novel about J.R.R. Tolkien, despite it being a work of fiction.
I don't want to know about bad things at all.
Okay.
Shame.
And Peter Jackson has said that further Lord of the Rings or Hobbit films, unlikely, because that would require the estate's cooperation.
Wow.
I can't take any more.
It just sounds like a bad deal.
What did the movie show him as like a coke-addicted writer or something? Like, what would be the thing they don't like?
I don't know.
Very strange.
But it shows him being shaped by the trauma of World War I and by his love for Edith Bratt, who will be played by Lily Collins.
Sounds fine to me.
Right? calm your teeth, Tolkien estate. Right? Who's with me? Some birthdays for you. Kelly Clarkson, Barbara Streisand, Joe Keery, and Frankie McDonald.
Hi, guys. I'd like to say hi to everyone in the United States of America right now. Hi, everyone in the United States of America. How are you doing? I'm doing good so far.
Happy birthday, Frankie.
Oh, love him so very much.
Is it weird that I hear my voice when I hear him?
We all do, Justin.
A little similar.
Okay. Good to hear.
And that's what's happening.
Take your Ally and your drive home to dealers. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. On Thursdays, we have Dr. Drew. We have Get Up On This with Jensen. We have Colin Hanks. What?
It's one and done on Wheel of Fortune. Go on.
Okay.
Oh, we were all on the edge of our seats.
Thank God we
solved that mystery.
Plus tickets to Kevin and Bean's April Fool's.
And she said it like, it's one and done, guys. Like it was still on our minds. Didn't even have to explain Wheel of Fortune. One and done.